Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM, your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. Today I am joined by Davis Potter, who is the CEO and founder of ForgeX. And ForgeX, super pumped to dig into it. They're an account-based go-to-market research firm that digs into all of like the standardization of how we should appropriately go to market using account-based strategy, and then also our definitions, which again, if you've listened for any length of time, everybody has a different definition of ABM. So I'm excited to dig into it.
Mason, what's going on? Thanks so much for having me.
I'm super pumped. We were just chatting before we clicked record, and I think one of the biggest challenges, it's actually one of the top three challenges that we often reference, is ABM is very hard to measure. If you're going to build an ABM program, it's not just, all right, cool. So we're going to look at the number of leads, and then we're going to conglomerate our lead score into an account score, because that's how we are supposed to do an account-based program. It's not that at all. So we talk through this elusive concept that is account-based engagement. So I'm really excited to dig into some of the metrics for success in an ABM program, some of the benchmarks you guys have been finding in your research, and then digging in really deep onto that elusive metric of account-based engagement. So for starters, like as you guys are helping to set the benchmarks and the standards, what are some of the core metrics of success in an ABM program?
So what's really interesting is when it comes to success metrics and benchmarks, one of the biggest challenges right now in market is everybody is doing it differently. They're measuring different metrics. And this is what we're seeing in our ABM benchmark audit. So right now we just started an initiative that we launched called the Account-Based Standard, where we're actually going into organizations, reviewing their programs in depth. And one of the challenges is their engagement models are all different. And based off of what their go-to-market looks like, so for example, maybe some will include email click in their model, maybe others will exclude that. So they're so nuanced in terms of what the models are, what the threshold is for engagement. You also have these marketing qualified accounts or QAs, six QAs, whatever you're using for your platform or how you're defining it internally. And the challenge is that there's no standardization. So for example, way back when, you've got Serious Decisions, Demand Waterfall. They're 2006 version, the classic inquiry to MQL, all the way down that linear funnel. And you were historically, you know, quote unquote, able to actually look at the conversions of each different funnel stage. And they had their benchmarks for, you know, what different conversion rate that you would see in what you should base your program off of. But we don't have that today, specifically for account-based marketing. There's no standard funnel, or not necessarily funnel, but approach for it. And so when you go out and we're doing our benchmark audits, we can't tangibly say, this is what you should be seeing for an engagement rate in your net new accounts. Because one, ABM means something different to so many companies. Engagement means something different to so many companies. And this is one of the challenges we're trying to solve. How do you elevate and modernize all of these organizations onto a standardized data model so that we can have these apples to apples comparisons? Because it's so freaking hard right now.
Yeah, and I just appreciate the call out of the tactical side of some people are tracking these email clicks, others are not. And like just that level of nuance to understand the engagement component, because you're seeing like people sometimes will say, oh, this account is red hot. They just had this massive engagement spike. And it's like this black box of what that actually means. Same thing kind of with intent data sometimes of like, there's this massive intent spike. And it's like, cool, like, what does that mean? And I've even seen certain data enrichment platforms that consider likes on LinkedIn company pages as an intent spike. Mm-hmm. So like, if you really dig into what some of these intent pieces are claiming, they're not really intent. So I love the call out of like the engagement, and the engagement modeling is just so different based on different organizations.
Completely is. And I'll give you another example too. Some will include impressions on, let's say, a LinkedIn ad in their engagement model. Whereas I'm definitely not a, you know, detractor of impressions. I think that they're an important metric, and it's almost like, you know, you're getting it in front of your target accounts, but it's not necessarily a meaningful enough interaction that should be crossing the threshold in terms of an account is engaged. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. So we've identified a lot of where people struggle from an engagement perspective and understanding, like, how do you even measure engagement? I'm curious though, why is it important to measure this engagement component in an account-based program?
So you've got engagement on a couple different levels. So first you've got your overall account engagement. So let's say you've got your target account list and you want to draw engagement of these specific accounts. So engagement could be at the account level, let's say de-anonymized web traffic, which is really important. You also have all of these different signals as well, such as, so we classify them as direct engagement signals, which would be a hand raiser or someone explicitly saying that they want to chat with you. Indirect engagement signals, meaning they attended an event, maybe they were browsing through your content and filled out a form to watch or look at an ebook or something like that. And then also the dark social signals. So this would be, you know, stuff that is really, really hard to track. Maybe they're talking about you in communities or word of mouth, or they're engaging, or not necessarily engaging, but they're consuming all of your LinkedIn content. So you've got these three different types of engagement signals that you're tracking. Some are at the account level, but also digging into the contact level is really important as well. So it's, you know, not just how are we getting these specific accounts engaged, but how are we engaging, let's say we're going after net new accounts, how are we engaging the target personas that we historically are winning with, and they're associated to the buying groups of our opportunities that are closing? How are we engaging them? How are we, you know, first off engaging them, but then also identifying and mapping, okay, these target personas, these contacts, these are part of the buying group. Let's lump them together. Once it becomes an actual opportunity, then you have these contacts associated to that opportunity, and actually mapping out the engagement from opportunity creation up into the close of the contacts who are in that buying group. And historically, a couple ways that we've seen this in our audits, which is actually really cool, they have a field or are able to track on the contact level whether a contact's engaged, unengaged, or lapsed engaged. So engaged to one of these organizations is in the past 90 days, they had a meaningful interaction, meaningful engagement with the company. Let's say, you know, it could be from the sales, marketing, or customer success side. Lapsed engaged, meaning in the past 90 days, they did not have a meaningful interaction, but they previously did. And then unengaged, meaning they've never engaged before this specific contact. And where this gets really powerful is once you have the buying group identified after post opportunity, when, you know, the opportunity is really progressing up into the close, you'll be seeing the engagement of these contacts upwards 90, 95%. And, you know, it should be very high. If you have a small buying group, this organization, for example, had 20, 30 contacts associated to this opportunity, like very, very large ACV. And so if you have a smaller, you should probably see a higher rate of engagement on the buying group contacts, but actually mapping that, measuring it, looking at it with the AE, the SDR, the sales team, and saying, from a go-to-market perspective, how can we partner to get these unengaged or lapsed contacts re-engaging with us? So you've got the account level engagement, which is very important because web de-anonymization, and you know, you can't track every single contact level engagement. Contact level engagement, which is also important, and then measuring the buying group with open and active opportunities, looking at their specific engagement and really getting into the nitty-gritty on the contact level there.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what you're elaborating on, and we've been recently talking about this, is just how do you not just progress an account? Because if we think about it from a pure funnel perspective, then yeah, it's just going to progress down. But like, it's not really how the buying journey functions. So there's also account regression. So like, an account may be super engaged, but they may buy a different product. And at a certain point, you've got to kick that back from active sales engagement to more of a marketing programmatic approach to help continue that relationship, so that whenever it's time to re-engage down the road, like, they've been hearing from you the entire way through the process. So again, I'll appreciate and love the example of lapsed engagement with the focus of like, all right, they were engaged, they're no longer engaged. Like, how do we get them re-engaged? And then the recognition of these are unengaged. Like, it's time to let sales move on to more actively engaged accounts. So super helpful there. The other thing that I really appreciate is just like relationship mapping. I don't know that many marketers actually do relationship mapping in an account. And I think it's a huge miss, because the understanding, when you really dig into, again, the average B2B sales cycle involves 10 to 18 different individuals in the buying committee. And you really sit down and map out the different personas and actually then put a name to that persona, and it's no longer a persona, but it's a person. I just feel like marketing and the perspective on marketing gets radically better when you actually understand the person behind the persona, and then can actually create content and collateral that directly speaks to that person.
Couldn't agree more. And here's one of the challenges too. Let's say you're going after a really large enterprise account, Bank of America, for example. If you're just looking at overall account engagement and you're not mapping out the different buying groups in an account that's so large, like Bank of America, you've got these different divisions who have specific buying groups. Sometimes they'll even have competing products. So, you know, a crazy example would be one is using Salesforce, where another one is using HubSpot for their CRM. So you've got massive opportunities within these different divisions, and getting down to the granularity of, this is who's in the buying group for this division, this is what their engagement looks like, is so important, especially on expansion plays. Because maybe one division is a customer and you're able to actually access the org chart for this company, or you have really deep insights. How do we go map out this other division and then turn them into customers as well?
Yeah, it's funny. We're actually building out that exact play with one of our clients right now, and they work in the manufacturing space, and they're in one plant, and now they're trying to get that plant leader to introduce them to other plant leaders. And then we're building a case study that showcases the impact that software had in that plant. And it's like the most one-to-one case that you can develop. Like, it's literally your organization, but a different place used us and saw these results. And also, you're getting a personal reference to someone that's in your org. Like, those kind of one-to-one plays are only effective if you know the relationships and can effectively map out who needs to be introduced to who.
And that's what makes the stakeholder mapping so powerful. And it's really hard to do when you're running what we call a growth ABM motion, where you've got, you know, let's say 50, 100, thousands of accounts in your target account list. You've tiered the target account list. Doing that at scale and creating individual buying group maps for each account, that's really challenging. But when you're running an enterprise ABM motion, which is the pure one-to-one or one-to-few, 25 accounts or less in a cluster, that's where it should be something that is completely baked into your overall go-to-market plan, a must. And it's it's overlooked in so many organizations, and even just tracking the engagement of the contact level of the buying groups, it's something that more people should be doing.
I love it. So again, we've outlined why engagement measurements are difficult. We've outlined why you should be doing it and how to even take that to the next level to understand the individual engagements within the buying committee within a target account. So the next question is really just around, okay, what are the benchmarks? So as we are starting to measure some level of engagement within our accounts, like what should we expect as this is great engagement with these accounts?
That is something, having a standardized metric in terms of you should be at 10% engagement within your target account list if it's XYZ size in XYZ industry, that is where we ultimately want to get to. But the biggest hurdle is we're going to have to standardize the definitions. There's going to have to be a lot of standardization around the data model as well. So what I would recommend to anybody who's looking for benchmarks, and we hear this question all the time. It's, hey, I'm just putting together my QBR for the founder or for our C-suite team. And, you know, Davis, what are your thoughts on an engagement metric? Can you show me something from your audits? And what I always recommend is from a benchmarking perspective, benchmark versus your own data because of the fact that we don't have the standardization. So there are kind of two ways to do it. And I have a favorite way out of both of these. So one way is looking at what the engagement level was within your target accounts before ABM launched and then post ABM implementation. So that's a really quick way to show, okay, this is the lift, this is the impact that we've made. And isolate that correlation versus causation. But my favorite way, and what I think every program should have, is a control group. So benchmarking versus this control. After you create your target account list, also create a lookalike target account list with accounts that are the same ICP, same criteria, but didn't make it into, you know, your list. And then look at how ABM has affected the accounts that received the program, the ABM treatment, versus the accounts that did not, that control group. And then you can really isolate, okay, the accounts that received ABM, this is what their lift looked like, whether it's in net new bookings, in engagement, in all of the different metrics that you're tracking. This is how much pipeline was generated, accelerated within this group versus the control group that didn't receive ABM. So that's my favorite way and what I would recommend. And it's something to put in place at the beginning of your program. So create your target account list. And then right after you have your target account list, create your control group. And then you have a really nice way to show how your impact has made a difference versus the accounts that aren't receiving ABM. And maybe they're getting some of your brand campaigns or some of the demand gen, integrated marketing, whatever it is, you know, that's touching them, but you can see specifically the ABM impact on the ones that aren't part of that group.
And again, as we start to think through engagement metrics, I'm curious for those that are currently probably just running like a very standard MarTech stack of a CRM, marketing automation, maybe a data enrichment platform with some intent data. What are some of the things that you're looking at to help model that engagement as a starting point?
So the engagement, when it comes to, so actually like building the model, for example, what I would look into is don't just say, hey, you know, we want to bake in marketing metrics. So we're just going to take what we can pull from a marketing automation system. Look at marketing, sales, and customer success, bake those into this model as well, if possible. So you're looking at, you know, are they attending events? We have a full signals sheet in ForgeX that covers all of the different things that you can be tracking. But looking at, you know, each of the different marketing touch points, direct mail, whether it's events, live events, in person, anything that is in a campaign that you can measure, put that into your marketing bucket of this engagement score. From the sales side, whether it is hearing back from a contact, having an email exchange, are they attending sales meetings? Track those within this engagement model as well. And then even on the CS side, so any touch points that customer success is having with these contacts, put those into the model. And one of the biggest challenges is actually building this model. So we've seen it done a few different ways. One, you can go out and buy a ABM platform for, you know, 115K or something like that. You can build it homegrown within your CRM if you have the technical aptitude, or you could go hire an external consultant to help you build this. One of the ways that we're seeing in kind of a pretty trending way to do this is using the custom object within Salesforce, because what you need to do is be able to track all of these engagement touch points across the contact. So not just like a lead stamp where once they convert, then you stamp, okay, this was the activity that they converted on, but actually being able to track every touch point that this individual contact has had and keeping those in a repository. So that being custom object in Salesforce, there are some other tools out there like a Dream Data or a Hockey Stack that are built specific for attribution. If you have someone internally, a data analyst, what you can do is pull all of the insights from, you know, Salesforce or any other tools, connect it into your data warehouse like a Snowflake, and then manipulate the data, run SQL to create these really cool reports and be able to articulate those different engagement metrics. And then they'll push it into a Tableau report or a Power BI. So you've got all these different ways to make the model. But at the end of the day, it has to be meaningful engagements. So email clicks isn't, that is a pretty controversial topic. Don't include ad impressions on your engagement model. That's something I'm very against. But you know, make sure that it spans marketing, sales, and customer success so that when you're looking at it from a go-to-market team perspective, it's not just, oh, this is everything marketing has done to engage with the account. It's, this is everything we've done as a one go-to-market team to engage these target accounts.
Yeah. I'll be fully transparent. I agree with your answer. I also think that it probably works best in growth and enterprise, like, but the version before growth is scrappy. So I just, like, when we're thinking, because like I'll be just fully transparent. Like, I've never had a data engineering team. Like, that is, that's never been a part of my go-to-market team. So like, I agree. And I think that's like the scaled up version. I think for the simplicity of just like, how do we freaking prove the model? I really love just like HubSpot lead scoring in such a sense that you then aggregate based on a contact list of all the contacts that are in the specific accounts. You've enriched your data, hopefully, with the buying committee. And then like you put it over into an Excel spreadsheet and just like figure out how you want to weight it appropriately. It is not sexy. It is super manual, but like as a starting point to even prove out any form of change over time in an engagement model, like that's how, when I don't have really sexy dashboards and reports, I just use Excel to like show this account is changing in these ways over a time frame. And if we had the right technology, we could actually do this in an automated way and activate on this information. But just to gather the data in the first place, like, I don't know, I just think a quarter of some unsexy work is probably where I recommend we start for a lot of our clients. It's just like, do the quarter of unsexy work to prove out the model and then go invest in the tech.
Totally. And even in the Excel sheet, it's like, you know, going to compile this data from so many different sources as well.
It sucks.
For example, like a SalesLoft integration. This is one of the things I was chatting with someone about the other day. It was, we don't have SalesLoft fully integrated with our CRM. So we're going to have to go pull our engagement data from that, manipulate that in a spreadsheet along with the stuff that we're pulling from our marketing automation tool, put it all together, and then be able to articulate and show what the lifting of engagement was across the marketing and the sales touch points. So it's uglier in the beginning, to your point.
It super sucks. which is why, honestly, like from my experience, and just as we've worked with a couple of clients on that kind of a front, the goal is not to convince everybody. It's just to get the person that you need to truly buy in to go be the executive sponsor to then go advocate for you. Because like the CEO is never going to look at the spreadsheet. The CR is not going to care. But if you can get your VP or your CMO on board, then like they'll go advocate for you. And if you need it, you've got the homework. But it's more the anecdotal that early of just like, we saw this lift. And then hopefully that lift converts into like one or two opportunities that close at some point. And like you've got, you know, prime example, we had a client in which they got an enterprise logo very quickly as a result. And when I say it was like in pipeline and it got to a point where their conversion metrics held steady, they're like, shoot, like because we did this ABM program, we don't have the end result yet, but we have a confidence that this scrappy approach, if we were to scale it and actually like put the resources into it, that we could see more results like this. And they're like, so that's from an engagement perspective, that's how I like to think about it. And again, just be really scrappy, do the sucky, unsexy work, and then validate and scale it up from there.
You want to hear a really interesting insight that's kind of surprised me? So you've got this whole concept of account-based go-to-market. And what's interesting is historically, you know, a ABM pilot has been kind of the play. It's we want to do something really small, prove out the model, test it, and then we're going to scale this thing up. And ABM is going to be, you know, a specific function or a specific domain, and it's going to be an integral part of our go-to-market motion. What's fascinating, and this is the first time that I've really seen this happen in terms of an overall trend, but in the past couple weeks, have had conversations with organizations who have full-on embraced an account-based go-to-market motion without doing a small ABM test. So what they've done is full, and this is orgs probably within the range of 7 to 25 mil in ARR. So not a huge enterprise where there's a lot of processes and teams to have to change this over. But what they're doing is, given that sales has already been account-based for years, you've got your strategic enterprise, you know, mid-market, and then PLG or self-serve type motion. This is coming from the C-suite. They're looking at that and saying, okay, our sales is, they've been account-based. ABM account-based go-to-market, so many organizations are finding success with this. Let's just go all in and let's build a actual account-based go-to-market motion where we're picking our accounts. And what's also interesting about this is we've seen, you know, right around 3,000 to 4,000 target accounts as the overall target account list. So they're like, this is who we're going after. And then what's also interesting is they have two tiers. And the first tier has a small amount of accounts. Let's say one example, they had 6. Another example, they had 150. And those are the most critical accounts to win as a go-to-market team. And all of these being net new as well. And then the remaining are all in their tier two bucket. And so from a go-to-market standpoint, that is what they're putting, you know, all of their resources behind. So what I find so interesting about this is, instead of doing this small ABM pilot, it's coming from the C-suite, and they're saying, we want to go all in on a target account approach. How do we implement this, and how do we get more targeted across our go-to-market? Which is fascinating, because it's the pilot approach has always been something that is the standard, and now we're starting to see that. Not only see that, but we're also seeing account-based go-to-market practitioners from a title perspective pop up as well. So it's definitely a full-on movement, and it's really fun to see.
Heck yeah. Well, we are coming up on time, so here's what I want to do. One, I've really enjoyed the deeper dive into specifically the topic around engagement, because it's one of those topics I think is largely misunderstood. But also, you just dropped like a very clear, relevant, and new insight. So let's say that people want to learn more about account-based go-to-market and want to have up-to-date insights on the changes in the market. Where can they find ForgeX?
Totally. Come hit me up on LinkedIn or go to forgex.ai. We have a free tier, so you can see all of our frameworks, all of our research. If you're a ABM or account-based go-to-market practitioner, come join us. We've got a community of other leaders as well that you can chat with in our Slack group. And we look forward to seeing you there.
Heck yeah. And again, I'm incredibly excited about all that you're doing. Very excited for our partnership and hopefully starting to put out some scrappy ABM content in the ForgeX community here in the next couple of weeks. So Davis, thank you for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM. Hope you all enjoyed. Thanks. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.